It was the dawn of the third age of mankind, 10 years after the Earth-Minbari War. The Babylon Project was a dream given form. Its goal, to prevent another war by creating a place where humans and aliens could work out their differences peacefully. It's a port of call, home away from home for diplomats, hustlers, entrepreneurs, and wanderers. Humans and aliens wrapped in 2,500,000 tons of spinning metal, all alone in the night. It can be a dangerous place, but it's our last best hope for peace. This is the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2258. The name of the place is Babylon 5.
Ribs and behemoth.
It's like
great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Welcome.
Okay, so here we are at the Applebee's.
We're live at the Applebee's.
Yeah,
we finally did it.
We're good. We made good on our word.
Mm-hmm. September 2018. The first. What was the first actual first one? Was it
Lorien? I believe.
You.
I believe it was Lorien. You.
There's too many episodes. We should probably stop doing it after
there's
this
too
one.
Many Applebee's is what I'm realizing.
September 3rd, 2018.
I went to an Applebee's once in, like,
Palo Alto.
It was California, but it was, like, on the roadside, and it exactly looked like this.
Yeah.
100% looked exactly like this.
There's a couple of restaurants that have house style. It's Applebee's, Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake Factory has the, like, the weird... brutalist, like
Lord of the Rings esque art style, but it's all fake and plastic. I love it. I live for.
How would you describe the aesthetic of an Applebee's?
All the wood is fake.
Yeah, that's good.
All of the wood is fake.
That's good. Yeah, the way I would describe an Olive Garden is all the chairs have wheels. That's,
I've never been to an Olive Garden.
The chairs have wheels.
Really?
Yeah.
I might go to an Olive Garden just for that.
Okay, I gotta process what I want here at the Applebee's. So you were saying that we started this whole adventure in September of 2018,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Should we get an app?
Obies?
Huh?
Hey guys, how
are
you doing?
Good,
how are you?
Good, thank you. My name is and I'll be taking care of you for today.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Can I start you guys off with something to drink?
Yeah. Can I get a Coke?
We have a Pepsi, is that okay?
That's okay, yeah.
Okay.
I'll do a Paradise Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Oh. You guys need more time?
Yes. A little bit more time.
All right, take
yeah,
your
thank
time,
you.
Okay?
Thank you. Paradise.
No, Gulk.
Probably
great with you guys.
All good, thank you. I saw that you elegantly used your menu to hide the ring device. Don't be nervous.
I just don't want it to.
You don't want someone to be like, is that in the corner?
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Should we do an appetizer sampler? I think that's...
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Right? Because we're at Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so what are the options?
We could do the two appetizers, or we choose two to put together down here.
Oh, sure. Additional... Okay. Yeah, let's do...
Yeah. This is a great soundtrack, by the way.
It super is.
This is dope.
It's very 80s.
Yeah.
That's something good, because I have a running 80s playlist of, like, every good 80s song I've ever heard. So we're going to learn the power of Shazam. What this is. Oh, it's Rod Stewart.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Rhythm of My Heart by Rod Stewart.
That sounds right.
Roddy Stew.
I think spinach and artichoke dip could be fun.
Always good. Okay, what a bad option.
And then you pick the other appetizer.
Oh, you're giving me a lot of power, my son.
I know. And then, is it Chili's where you can do the two entree thing? Oh, no, well, you can do it here, two for 22.
Oh, that's so good. any two of these.
Oh, okay. We could do this, where you start with two side salads and an appetizer to share.
Okay.
And then we each get one of...
Oh, I love that this has, like, steps on it. Like, here's
oh, we
the
have
order.
To choose the same entree?
Hmm.
I don't know about that. I definitely don't want the oriental chicken salad.
No, I was going to say we should get pretzels and beer cheese, dude.
Is that one of the options?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, we won't do this
too
much.
Thank you much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with some appetizers, if that's okay.
Sure.
So we're going to do two.
Yeah.
What was yours, Anne?
We'll do the spinach and artichoke dip and the... What was it? The other one?
The pretzels and beer cheese. Yeah.
This, you wanted to do
the two for $11.29
okay.
thing.
Alrighty.
Okay.
You want me to put that in right now, or do you want me? Do you know what you want for entrees?
We're still thinking.
We're still thinking about entrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Thank you.
Berg. Here's the thing about Bergs that you need to understand about me.
Yeah. What's that?
I do love a Berg. Oh, lunch combos. That's amazing. Oh. No, until 4 p.m. Okay, we can do that. Yeah, you create your lunch combo. Oh, that's good.
What is it?
You can put two classics, or a classic and a signature, or a signature.
Wow, signature. Oh, that's like a sandwich and a...
Yeah, and a salad or a soup.
Yeah, I don't... That's like a Panera Bread. I'm not here
not
for
a
that.
Panera Bread.
I'm here for like something loaded.
Something
loaded
in the name. The cheese. You can believe the cheese.
Do they have, are there crispers here? Chicken crispers? I think I'm at Chili's right now.
My man thinks he's at Chili's. No, they can probably have something crispy. I don't want a sandwich. I don't want a burger. I want that chicken.
Oh, there is something with loaded in the name. I could get loaded shrimp fajitas.
Vaginas? Oh, God. I'm sorry, I'm 5
yeah,
years
you're
old.
You're a criminal. you used to
put the cuffs on.
You used to be a criminal.
Jameis took his own cuffs off.
Oh, you know what? No, I still think I'm at Chili's because baby back ribs. What? Is that sweet?
Yeah.
What did you get?
I don't know anymore.
Wow.
Wait for the aftertaste, too. There's like a watermelon aftertaste, and they're like, oh no.
That is strong.
That just woke me up. That just put hair on my chest. Yeah, I want to do a chicken.
If we weren't recording, I would have had this decision figured out like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But there's something about the awareness of recording voice and ordering something at the same time.
You're like,
Totally fries my brain.
It sizzles you, like some sizzled fajita.
Yeah.
Oh, I found the secret to ordering things.
What's that?
Just look at the pretty pictures and be like, I want that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good approach.
I always like a good surf and turf.
I think I want chicken.
Here's my question for you.
I think when we were doing our Applebee's bit, which inspired this.
Oh yeah, what did it? It was like crispers.
We were naming things off of the Chili's.
That's Chipotle chicken.
Yeah, that's a Chili's thing. So now we're sort of trapped in a quesadilla burger.
That's illegal.
Ew, it looks
oh my god, it looks so nightmarish. At home, go Google quesadilla burger.
That's not good at all. Oh, this is a nice song.
This, you can help me out?
Yeah.
I feel like Alondo would like this song.
I think so too. He'd be a Paul Simon fan. Jakar is the Garfunkel.
you're the Garfunkel also. That's a hard question. Between the two of us, who's the
Simon and who's the Garfunkel?
I think for the visual.
Visually, I'm a Garfunkel.
Yeah. I want a shirt that says that. Visually, comma, I'm a Garfunkel.
Visually, I probably shouldn't say
emotionally, that. I'm a Miranda. When they tell you that they're going to read your Miranda rights, is that like a Sex and the City thing, or what's going on? What's the deal? Very.
Do you know what you want?
Oh, yeah.
What do you want?
Bourbon Street Chicken and Shrimp.
I was just looking at that.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It's fiction. Don't look at it.
I'm going to get No, that's too much money.
How about pick two things and I'll tell you which one to pick?
Okay, fine. All right. The chicken tenders platter.
Okay.
Basic.
Okay.
Or...
Yeah, basic. I have a story. I have a...
Oh, French onion. I don't want French onion.
No, no. I went to the effort to buy French onion dip when we were shopping for food in New Hampshire. And I was like, guys, let's try French onion dip. And they were like, Alan, it's not, like, anything special. And I got, like, the Lay's, like... small little cans there, and I was like, this is terrible, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's weird. Mm. I'm gonna get half rack of ribs.
Here you go, guys.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Hey, are we all set?
Yeah,
we are. We want. So I'm gonna do the Bourbon Street chicken and shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
And then can I get a half rack of the baby back ribs?
Mm-hmm. What kind of sauce would you like to eat?
Let's go with the honey barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. and then I get two sides, is that right?
Yep.
Let's go with fries and the green beans.
Sure.
Cool.
Alright, so we have the bourbon chicken and shrimp, and then the half rack of ribs barbecue with fries and green beans.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
And
we'll take this out of your way.
Thank you much.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the term "thank you much" not from Ariana Grande, but from just like working in the, on the East Coast, working in Mass.
Yeah,
people say "thank you much" a lot. Older folks say it a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a New England thing.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
You know, Jim was saying yesterday that a Massachusetts thing is adding adding an apostrophe S at the end of the names of places.
Mike's. Barbara's.
No, like his example was Barnes and Nobles.
That's good. I was so disappointed. Man, here's the kind of person that I am. I saw that there was a Barnes and Noble next to where I work.
Can I double dip?
Yeah, you can
double dip. In the beer and cheese?
I respect it.
Okay.
You don't have any illnesses that I'm aware of.
I'm sure we would have them both.
Together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You've been a very...
As a family.
Close proximity in the last 48 hours.
I've been doing a lot of handshaking and drink sharing, so I think we're infected.
There mm-hmm. I went into the Barnes & Noble and it turned out to be a school bookstore with like one shelf of books. And it was like, and they were all just like bestsellers.
Mm. It wasn't like a big, because sometimes those bookstores are
like the one you, when we
Barnes & Noble plus school stuff.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
Like the Columbia one? You
yeah, heard? The Columbia one, exactly. No, it ended up just being like, there's actually a whole row of like, here's authors from this school, the college that we went through. And it was like,
the Columbia one does that too.
Uh-huh. Columbia, yeah, I remember, like Columbia graduates.
And Stanford has a section for that.
But Emerson College is like, here's Make Way for Ducklings. And that's it.
That's fine.
That's technically a Boston book, that's where it takes place.
Oh yeah.
I feel like we're talking about like 11 different things, but it's all good. It's gonna be a little scatterbrained naturally.
Yeah, I mean, this is the experimental epilogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the sleeping in light, like we said last week.
Right.
Just like random
catharsis.
Remember
like...
the.
Do you have any like chat salon memories? Like, I was telling you on the last episode that I associate the episode where we meet Lorian and he's like getting Sheridan out of the thing with the day that I lost my last job. That was a weird one. Like I said, I was watching it on my phone because we were like recording that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just gotta get home. And like, the reason I went to cancel my gym membership was I was like, now that I don't have income, I'm not gonna be able to afford this comfortably. That's fine. So I need to like go, and I'm like looking at it, and I'm just sad.
Yeah.
And Lorian's great. And so I feel like I enjoyed that more because it was like a positive thing in a negative, otherwise negative day.
Yeah.
You know, do you have anything like that?
Actually, I mean, our very first episode, I don't really want to give the personal context for it, mm-hmm. but it was a particularly difficult weekend for me, and it was also the start of the school year. It was,
It's September, right?
Mm-hmm. It was like the weekend before school started for my second year of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Charlie and I recorded from. He came with me to help me like set up my classroom and stuff. But,
oh, you guys recorded from the school.
Recorded from school, yeah.
You guys did that. You did it for a little while. You did a couple episodes.
Yeah, a couple
like
episodes
that.
Like that, yeah. But we like we went into the like social worker's office. And there was like a leather couch in there.
Heck yeah.
Recorded from there. So I have like that weird, very specific context for like how Chaslet 5 began.
Reporting out of the social worker's office in the school, in the high school.
Yeah. At this sort of like new beginnings moment of my life.
Yeah.
That's or beautiful. Like crossroads-y. I don't know. But yeah.
Beginnings always hide themselves in ends, you know? You're gonna find the phases of your life kind of like tend to line up with different things all the time, forever. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of another one. Post-France, I would say, which was last August,
yeah.
I think, was really good to like come back and be like, and like podcasting was like, it's been so long.
Are you all set with this? Are you still working on it?
We're all set with that, actually. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because I definitely wasn't lonely when I was in France at all, but I just missed like having a little bit more of a schedule.
Yeah.
Because if anything, the one of the things I
the soundtrack is
banging.
It's one of those feelings I have for her. Every little thing she does is magic.
Ooh, I don't know the beginning of the song.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that starts as a different song.
But it was just nice to like get back to a routine. Like, and like you were texting me every night too, which is nice.
Yeah, but we did like a month's worth of batch recording ahead of time, and then when we came back, it was sort of like, huh, how does this work? Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure I have more. It's the sort of thing where, like, if I were to listen to an old episode,
exactly.
I could tell you what was going on.
You'd be like, oh, that was happening. Oh, I didn't. Why did I tell her to get the cheese out? I'll just spinach and artichoke this pretzel.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. That's something about podcasting, I think,
mm-hmm.
that you don't really realize unless you do it, that, like, there are certain old episodes, if you listen to them, you can be like, oh, I remember exactly where I was sitting, exactly like what I was doing right before or right after
yeah.
that recording. And then there's some where it's like, I have no idea.
This one exists out of time. Yeah. But some of Escape Chats is like that for me. Maybe because it's been long enough, and maybe because I have a lot of college like blocked out. Not even for like traumatic reasons necessarily, but just like it happened
kind
really
of blended together in my
yeah.
fast, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Should marry me.
But I agree.
Some old-fashioned way.
When you listen to that old stuff, you're like, oh, yeah, I was there. Like the DC episodes of stuff.
Yeah, right.
We still haven't done that much, like, remote recording like this, or, like, one of us is, you know, I've heard podcasts where, like, one host is, like, at a hotel, and they're like, oh, yeah. I decided to record from a hotel. But we also don't, like, stay in hotels for that long.
We usually try to plan ahead of that stuff, too.
That, too. I actually really appreciate that. About our schedule is that it has always allowed for time off because of like being able to record ahead. Like if we recorded a podcast that was more time specific and like this needs to happen, record and release in the same week,
yeah,
we'd have a lot more difficulty and
I
just have
so.
To skip a lot more weeks.
Yeah,
but we've definitely been very consistent, which is super good. Yeah, go ahead.
So, an idea that I had for this conversation.
We're having a brain meld right here, babe.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We both felt the transition moment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Moment.
Are you watching me use the spinach tip? I'm trying to get optimal chip coverage without losing too much of the glue.
And not succeeding.
Yeah, it really did.
And watch this.
Well.
Look at this beautiful dip. Artful.
Oh,
artful.
That was artful, yeah. That was very nice. An idea I had for this conversation was we could just talk about the questions. The Vorlon Shadow, Galen,
Lorien,
yeah.
Everyone's
questions. And the first question is, who are you?
So what's the significance of that question? Because I can obviously tell you my name.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it, the Vorlon Shadow dichotomy, right, is, I think it, you can kind of trivialize it as saying it's chaos versus order, which is not entirely what it is. No. I think it's hierarchy versus, adaptation. I think maybe that's a way to think about it. And, like, for the Vorlons, who are you? Like, what is your position? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
No problem. I'll go move this over for you. Okay, don't touch the seal. It's really hot, okay?
Yes.
Thank you. No problem. Would you guys like anything else right now?
I think we're good for
we're
now.
We're good, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Yeah, so I think the Vorlon question
is... that sizzle?
That is a nice sizzle. Let's get that.
Yeah, get really in on that sizzle. You can hear like a little whistle in it.
Yeah.
I love this late 2010s indie music playlist.
Oh my god. This is the, that's not what the playlist has been. Like, this is out of step.
We're shifting.
With, you can call me Al and every little thing she does is magic and Rod Stewart. Like, who's picking this? Anyway, so the Vorlon question is a hierarchical question about, like, who are you in the order of things? And, like, you have a fixed destiny or quest that you're traveling upon that has been determined for you. So I think that's, like, the way we can think about it. It's, like...
it's also a fate versus free will thing, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Vorlons are definitely very fate in the shadows.
We set this all up for you. It's just a matter of you doing it.
Yeah. So what do you think? Who are you?
I'm sticking to the side of the fajita plate.
Who am I?
I'm a friend. I'm a son. I'm a baby. I'm an adult. I am the sum worth of a lot of moments of learning and relearning and adjusting. Ooh. John just gave me, put down a cursed tome, a cursed object.
We went to PAX yesterday, and I got a bunch of dice. And there's one die that I got is a six-sided die that says noun twice, verb twice, and adjective twice.
So you want me to give you like one of those, roll it, and then I'll tell you what to give you about myself? About my mind? Noun.
Well, I think you're... I'm noticing that you're giving nouns.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if the answers to who are you are nouns.
For some, they definitely are.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Hot potato. Well, because with some people would definitely use exclusively adjectives. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm friendly, I'm competitive, I'm romantic. Adjectives. I don't know what, how you would verb yourself.
I'm a
verb.
Fighter. I'm a, you know? Uh-huh. Like, nouns that are verbs, I think.
Yeah. I love, I cry, I...
It's good. There are things that you do.
Yeah,
time, right?
I eat.
So maybe, yeah, so maybe let's do this. Maybe we'll roll it.
Okay. And let fate decide.
Yeah. So I'll roll it for you. I'll give you, how about three?
Yeah.
You do three.
That's perfect.
And you could get three nouns, you could get...
Sure.
Okay, noun. So you said you were a son.
Yeah.
And a friend.
I think son in particular, like, I relate with my family a lot, and...
Yeah.
I've had good and bad challenges with them.
Yeah.
Throughout my life. And so, like, if I were to, like, date someone, I don't think I would put that front forward. Like, I'm a family person 100%. That's not, like, the first thing I would say, because I like to define myself by myself and not just by the people I surround myself with and spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to note that, like, yeah, like, I have a very close relationship with all of my family, with my sister, my dad, my mom, at the very least.
and my community. And I struggle with that because, like I said, sometimes I don't want to make that a defining feature of myself. But it's true. Like, it's more honest than anything else I could say.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I think a lot about with our friendship. I think that's a fundamental difference between us. I think we have a lot of things in common, but that's a fundamental difference. That you are very much, like, you have broad extended family connections, and like you go to a lot of big family gatherings. And it's cool. Like that's a really special thing to be able to have, but it comes with obligations
and expectations that you sometimes are really, really hard to meet. like having to foster a community and like continued communication with people that you don't even see that often,
right?
Because it's like, oh, they're family. You should be talking to them. You should be making the step to like text them regularly. Because like I like to spend a lot of time with my friends, obviously. But then it's like sometimes it can feel almost like homework or something where it's like you should really get X amount of family time in. Like you are worth it. You should be doing that.
How do you think? Do you think you want to be a dad?
Yeah, eventually.
Or a parent, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think when you're a parent, you would have the same emphasis for your kids on family that has been had for you?
I just don't want it to ever feel obligatory.
Yeah.
Like, you should want to. And I think my folks were like that. They were like, you should want to hang out with your church community or whatever. I never did, and they were like, oh, well, we're not going to push that any further.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, like, make it something that's available and, like, hey, your, like, school friends and real friends in life and whatever aren't always going to be available, but you absolutely have a, like, vast-ish community of people that will always be available.
Right.
Without caveat.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that.
That's an interesting thing about it, because I feel like when you're a kid, all of the entire incentive infrastructure of your life is about, like, I want to hang out with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are in proximity, the closest to me, and I see them the most often, so I get the most benefit out of them liking me and me doing things with them. But then, hell yeah.
Killer playlist.
But then, when you graduate high school, all of a sudden, like, you know, not very many of those people.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Not very many of those people remain in your life, right? And the people who do remain in your life are your family.
Right. I said it last night, or yesterday, to someone. I forget who, but I've been saying this since we graduated from high school, but, like, the people in your life that matter the most to you, no matter, like, distance, time, or whatever, friends, family, whatever, will stick around. And people that don't will just naturally fade out without your input. That's just how things work. People who like each other will stick around, but who don't won't.
And I think the reason that we maintain a connection with each other, you and I, is not because we're very good friends, but because we have made each other into family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a distinction.
Right. Family doesn't even have to be blood related at all.
Yeah.
Especially in this modern day, like, found family is an important thing. I almost wish Babylon 5 hit more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does the idea of found family and, like, ambassador to attaché, kind of, like, we have a familial bond that, like, nobody else is able to interfere with. And, like,
yeah.
Not everything is romance, but, like, and there's a lot of, like, lovers and, like, the mysterious season one women that come and go in an episode or die.
Yeah. Well, I think Farscape does a really good job of
right.
the found family thing.
Yes, definitely. It's about that.
And not as much a strength or a focus of Babylon 5.
And there's, like, children in Farscape more so.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. We don't really see our main characters.
I don't think we ever see David.
Yeah.
You know? Sheridan and Delancey.
I don't think we even see any of the main characters, like, wanting kids.
Right. They're too busy.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you asked me, like, if I want kids, I started thinking of, like, Dylan and Sheridan. And I'm like, at what the point in their lives when they decided, like, we should start trying to have a kid and figure out this work came after they took out, you know, Clark and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like their lives are now stable. Right. Like, they still did it in a time of, like, significant duress because they were like, this is...
And they're at the age where, like, maybe they have already made the decision for themselves of, like, yeah, that time passed.
Yeah.
And it's not happening.
Either I do it now or it's never happening.
And then it surprises them and they're like, okay, well, actually, if it's still possible...
They'll give a little bit of their love to each other.
Uh-huh. Okay. You do.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll just do one word?
Maybe.
And then what do you want? And could be another...
Yeah, if you talk more about yourself, who you are.
Well, give me a...
Okay. You've got a noun as well.
You know, part of the reason the part of speech thing is really interesting to me is because for a while, like especially in college, mm-hmm. when I conceived of myself and who I was, and I would think about it a lot, who am I? I think that question was really dominant at that time in my life. And I think it was always also tied in, like, the person I am is the kind of person I'm aspiring to be. Like, it's hard for me to actually separate the two. But I would always conceive of the answer in terms of nouns. And lately, I've been starting to think, like, that the nouns that I was picking, like, oh, I'm an educator, I'm a comedian, I'm a writer, creative person, I'm a poet, those sorts of things.
Things you do.
Yeah, those, that maybe actually is not the way that I want to continue to conceive of who I am. As like the Wikipedia blurb, like Magellan Fluke was a, you know, author, podcaster, whatever, who died in 2021, but man, that 1 year was really productive, or, mm-hmm. you know. I've been starting to think that I don't want to conceive of myself and my identity in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
And think instead about, like, what are the adjectives that kind of define who I am.
That's super good.
But I think fundamentally, if I think about, like, a noun that describes who I am, I think I'm an individual. Both to my sort of as something that distinguishes me and as something that has been like burdensome or problematic, like kind of the inverse of what you're saying. I think a lot of my life has been about like having to accept the fact that within the context of my family I am on my own a little bit, like my two siblings are the siblings of my mom and my stepdad, so I'm like the one kid who's not, you know, both of their kid. I have had like a weird name my whole life. I have tried to like figure out ways to be creative, and I think that brings with it a kind of like loneliness and also a kind of fear of mediocrity. That has been really pervasive. And lately I've been like, maybe it's okay to be like average and mediocre. And instead it's about like the kind of person you are, the adjectives, instead of like, I'm a blank and a blank and a blank.
Yeah.
Blank, the tags, yeah.
I think being distinct can be really, yeah, like you said, isolating and challenging when you don't feel like you're doing it enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly reaching up to something.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into the second question, which is, what do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want? Because that's the shadow question. And in the context of the show, it's first, I guess, worded from Mr. or said by Morden.
Yeah.
To, I guess, Londo. I think to Londo.
To, like, everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
When he first gets on the ship and he's asking everybody, what do you want? He's telling everybody, like, I can get you what you want if it's what you want is, like, power or money or fame or revenge.
Yeah.
And the only person who, like...
Did you want another paradise
person? No, thank you. I'll have a water, actually. Thanks. Sorry, brain just reset.
This is sort of a what do you want song.
It is. Well, Come On Eileen, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a, it's almost a more like intimidating question to me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I actually get it asked a lot now that I've like started transitioning careers. Let me roll the dice and see what I can get just to give me something to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Hey folks, it's Alan. Just going to interrupt this crucial plot significant dice roll for the final mailbag of Chats on 5. We got one email, and I want to read it both because everybody who emails gets to have their stuff read eventually, and because it's the last email that we got for Chats on 5. Because this episode is going up tomorrow, and then there's not going to be any more Chats on 5 episodes unless they make more Babylon 5, which they probably won't. So, this email comes in from our friend Nick, who says, first, regarding the Lost Tales, I would say the closest B5 got to saying an afterlife exists is the Day of the Dead, even with Kosh sending a message from beyond. Though I agree, having a space creature that seems like a demon works better than you're an actual demon cast down to banishment on Earth. Now, I want to disagree with this, Nick, because I do think the idea of a demon being cast down is cool. I said that in the episode, but you're right. It doesn't make as much sense in a sci-fi show. And regarding our Crusade script read, which you, the listener, can also enjoy, if you are a patron of ours over at patreon.com/chatspod, we read the script for the season one finale of Crusade with our buddy Jim. We read all the parts. He says, I loved how you guys didn't read ahead, so you got excited as you went along. Yeah, we only knew vague inklings of what happened in that script, and then as we're reading it, we stop at every act, and we're like, oh my god, what's going on? He says, that's really great. And if you recall, we saw in Crusade a new Earth Alliance ship, Warlock class. I mention this because in the episode you read, it was hinted that the Earth Alliance EA, I guess, had continued to invest into using Shadow Tech, which was apparently a hidden part of the Warlock class of ship. Quote, in addition to human technology, an unknown shadow device is buried somewhere in the Warlock's control systems. The exact purpose and function of this device is unclear, though the only vessel known to have overridden its influence was the EAS Titans under the command of Captain Susan Ivanova. This is taken from the, quote, Hidden Agendas short story written by JMS in the official Babylon 5 magazine. So, is the implication there then that all the Warlock class ships had Titan stuff in them except Ivanova's, because that means that she's truly just a queen, and we know that already, but it's confirming it. He concludes that first email by saying, be seeing you, with the okay emoji, and then number 6, referring to the next show we're going to be watching for Chats, The Prisoner. He actually has a follow-up, because he forgot to mention that, yes, he in fact had 2 episodes of Crusade that he's only now watched with along with Chats. He's seen most episodes when they first aired, but always put off getting the DVDs, thinking that if I ever wanted something new, there were a few episodes out there waiting. But Pat, his brother, brought them now, and I watched his set, and now it's all done. I will just read the 2 canon novels extra slowly to try and make them last, but I promise it won't take 20 years this time. Yeah, I just finished a bunch of books. I'm trying to read more this year, and the next like 2 books on my list are... Well, I still have Voices, the first B5 book, which is not, I don't think is canon. And then what I'm looking at it right now, book 6, Betrayals. And then the canon one, book 9, To Dream in the City of Sorrow. So I got B5 backed up, ready for me to chew through it. But yeah, thank you, Nick. And thank you to everybody for supporting Chats. I'm really happy with how this Live from the Applebee's episode came out. I know it doesn't sound incredible, but that's just because it was on a portable recorder. We definitely did the best we could with that, and I still think it's very, very listenable. We're going to be linking the Spotify playlist of the Applebee's soundtrack in the show notes, because it's like a weirdly eclectic soundtrack, and I liked it a lot. Magellan did as well, so that Spotify link will be in the show notes, like I said. And yeah, enjoy the rest of us wrapping up discussion of B5 at the Applebee's. And thank you to Applebee's for hosting us. And we'll see you after our break. I think we talk about this at the end of the episode, but we'll be on a little short break. And then we'll come back with episodes 1 and 2 of The Prisoner. Peace.
Yeah, what do you want?
Adjective. Stable.
Okay, tell me more.
It's kind of hard to get into without getting fully into like who my person, like what's going on with me personally.
Yeah, you're gonna be delicate about it.
I'm moving around careers right now, and one of the difficulties with that was like a lot of people are gonna ask you whenever you start something and then transition to something else, like why or what are you trying to get out of the new thing? Because you have this expectation that like the only reason you would ever do that is because you know what you want. Mm. Whereas in reality, it's like the whole reason I'm changing is because I didn't know what I want. And I'm still struggling with that question. Like, what exactly do I want? What, like, tangibly do I want? But stability and, like, stable feels like a good answer right now. Like, you were talking about learning to accept being normal. Because I think naturally me and most people, honestly, don't like being stable. We resist it with every fiber of our being. Because we are told that you need to be productive and you need to be unique and you need to make something that's going to last beyond you, and it can't just be like the way everyone else does it. Everything has to be unique all the time.
Yeah.
And we are like pushed away from this idea of just stability, and like I really do want, and I want to learn to want it also. Mm. To just be comfortable, like, yeah, I finally am like doing the things I said I would do when I was a teenager. I told you recently, a younger friend of mine who's currently in their freshman year of college was asking a bunch of people our age, like, what would you tell high school you right now? Or would high school you be happy with where you're at?
Yeah.
And like part of my thing is I kind of want them to be like at peace with it and be like, oh wow, that's really awesome that you're doing that. And I feel like I'm like 80% of the way there right now to what they would want to hear, but
it's also like, why are we beholden to what our high school selves would want?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I just want to learn to like enjoy what I have and accept that. But also, can I keep like working towards something better and bigger and more important? Because I think you can be ambitious without burning out. I think it's possible.
Yeah. I think I've found it really hard to be ambitious without feeling unfulfilled.
Exactly. That's like the crux of so much like self-help stuff that I've read.
Yeah.
Is be ambitious but also be satisfied.
Which is feels so paradoxical.
Exactly. And that's the whole reason it's like one of the hardest questions you have to answer in life.
Like in order to want something different or better,
you need to feel a dissatisfaction.
You have to disparage what you have.
Yes. But it's hard to move forward when you're not happy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's really hard.
That's really tough. This song is the bangers of them all. Can you give me the title of this song?
I feel like I know it. It's a Sugar Ray song.
It's going to be the core of my playlist for next week.
Out the window. It's When It's Over by Sugar Ray.
Oh, half calf.
When it's over. That's like the end of the song.
Just got to start week 10 with When It's Over.
You're in 10 weeks? Damn, Daniel. Oh, of this year. I was like, didn't you do more than that? Because you started doing the weekly playlists like decades ago. Not literally, obviously. Metaphorically.
Sorry, go keep talking.
I'm eating artichoke dip and I'm putting a playlist thing up. For himself.
For himself.
For himself. It's your playlist, I meant. Sorry, my words are hard.
When it's over?
Yes. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Can I take that out of your
room? Oh, yeah. That'd be perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. And are you still working on your food?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Remember yesterday when I Venmo'd Jim 50 cents for a bite of his cookie?
No.
That was awesome.
I didn't know.
It's this is kind of related to what you want.
I want to have a healthier relationship with money. Because I think, especially like being unemployed for a while, gave me this really negative opinion of people who have a lot of money and people who want money.
Yeah.
And something that's important that actually is like a healthy way, in my opinion, to counter the effects of capitalism is developing a healthy relationship with money. And like not being afraid of it, but also not like craving it or needing it. And like understanding like there is enough. Society's gonna tell you there isn't. There totally is.
Yeah.
There's a comfortable level of money. And like with the 50 cents thing, it was like I had this weird like not greed, but like it was like a very, very small flex of like here's a coin. Yeah. Give me something in return. Like you can't say no because I gave you something. Which I think is kind of bad.
Yeah.
But it was funny in the moment because it's such a small amount. Like if I gave him $10 and I was like, give me your entire cookie, I would feel very bad. I would feel really bad.
Yeah, right.
Mostly because he spent like $3 on it, and that's dialectics, baby. I learned what dialectics means, finally.
Does it mean that?
No. It's fundamental laws of the universe.
Jim's on his way to by the way.
Jim from Chat's Nights?
So, yeah, we can hang with him after if you're able to do that.
Oh, I am able to do that.
That's cool.
I think, yeah, it's only XPM.
Yeah.
So what do you want?
A pizza. We should get the check, eh?
You want the check. That's what you want.
Yeah. And we can keep talking in the car, I think. Right?
Ooh.
Let's get the... Let's see what I want.
Yeah, yeah. Miss some tzatziki.
No. That's tough.
With a thing you want. And you can make it small. You could be like, I want the new Animal Crossing. Sorry, I'm like hogging the dip.
I think what it comes down to is recognition.
Let me recognize? Are you still living on that Belle and Sebastian song, If She Wants Me?
Oh yeah, that song's pretty.
Is that still a mood?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. Listen to that song If She Wants Me, because it's a good... It is true, I think, that, like, at the end of the day, any of the other sort of material wants give way to, like, love, really, is, like, what I want. Mm-hmm. And I think other recognitions are placeholders for love, in a sense. And I think... The stuff I was saying before about feeling like an individual, I think has also made me a fairly narcissistic person. And so, I think I do have some element of, like, feeling as if success is, like, owed to me at some part
right.
of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's like, oh, I've... You know, one day I'm going to, like, write a book or become a whatever or do whatever, and I'll finally get the recognition that I think I deserve. And I think that's what, you know, it's interesting. The way that the questions are presented in Babylon 5,
mm-hmm.
that, like, the representative of the what do you want question is this, like, handsome, seductive... Because the question is very seductive.
Wealthy-looking man.
It's seductive and misleading.
Yeah.
Because I think we sometimes seek certain things that we want without understanding what it is that we need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of where the shadows make their money. Whereas the Vorlon question is this kind of, like, almost beating people into the submission of, like, this is who you are.
Yeah. This is where you come from. This is who you are owed to.
Yeah. So, I think it's love, and I think... But I think the sort of short-term, like, way that I manifest that is looking for forms of recognition and, like, validation.
Yeah.
That can cause problems. Like,
yeah.
If you're not clear-minded about what you're trying to get and why... Um, I think you can end up being a pretty selfish person.
Yeah.
Which has happened to me.
I don't know if I'd consider you selfish as much as just, like, self-centered.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, actually. I think about you, I think you think about yourself a lot, which is fine. You're reflective.
But there is a sort of negative side to that as well.
It's okay. It's okay, Bobby.
Bobby.
You're going to be okay.
But yeah.
Something that I was thinking about deconstruction of falling stars, as one does when they're me. And something that's like so appealing to me about that episode is like all of the small stuff. This song rules. What's love got to do with it?
We just talked about that.
Yeah. Is like all the stuff that we worry about is of like, are people gonna remember me? And like, are they gonna remember me the right way? And like, what are they gonna say about me? It's like, nothing you say can defeat the passage of time. People are going to perceive you the way they perceive you.
Yeah.
And what's important is that you love yourself and are loved by those around you in the present. And you find love and can produce love for others. Because thousands of years down the line, we're all hopping into our Vortolon encounter suits. No one is going to be like, Jones didn't tip 20% that one time.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the other reason I've been thinking about
got to do it
is because
kindred emotion.
The reason I've been thinking also about like adjectives versus nouns,
mm-hmm.
in terms of like what to strive for,
yeah,
is the draw of like defining yourself by the nouns of or just, you know, let's move beyond parts of speech, defining yourself by like achievements does have this seductive quality of like you'll be remembered, but I think the truth of it is like the only people who are really going to remember you are the people that you knew, and they're going to remember you for the way that you were instead of the things that you did. And like, if anybody else remembers you for your achievements, that's not going to carry very far, and that's not really going to be who you were.
You know? I mean, it's crazy. Like, the second you pass on, the perception of you changes. And a lot of, like, unfortunately, a lot of, like, the negative aspects, unfortunately, but for better or for worse, negative aspects will get paved over.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes in Final Fantasy VIII, actually, is when talked about this too with you at least before, if not the show, but the character who seems to be dead, and everyone is like, oh, I actually loved him, like I didn't tell him, but I like really wish I told him, and oh, he's my favorite student, and like he was so good. And then the main character is like, he was a bully, he hated all of us,
yeah,
you guys were all mean to him, why are we pretending we liked him, like, yeah, let's remember him for who he was and not like invent a new like memorial for him.
Yeah.
I actually,
did we pay with this thing? Or we order with this thing. I'm not sure.
No, it's like games. It's got like trivia and stuff on it.
I think we pay with it, maybe.
Well, you can,
but I'm not.
We'll play with it. Who is Batman's sidekick? Oh, it's Robin.
Or no, maybe she shows up.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
They're going to have some boomers. Oh. Yeah. They have some like boomers who are going to be like, I don't know how to use the computer.
Okay, boomer. Sometimes my students are like, okay, boomer.
And you're like, that's not how that works.
Jim just messaged me, 30 Rock did not age well.
Oof.
It's a thing I'm very curious about, actually.
Yeah.
Is whether or not 30 Rock aged
well. I bet at least early stuff, definitely no.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy just doesn't.
A really startling thought recently that some of our sort of lack of political engagement and seriousness maybe stems from like a decade of TV political satire that was just like, man, Republicans are dumb.
Yeah.
anyway, let's move on with our lives.
Yeah. Back to the jokes.
And like maybe The Daily Show with Jon Stewart did more harm than good, which
is up for debate.
Yeah. I think it certainly like interested a generation of people in politics, but maybe in like not the most productive way.
I think the thing that radicalizes people more to action is like
honestly, stuff websites like Twitter, where it's like you are getting to see the demonstrable effects of the like our healthcare system or like our government on people.
Yeah.
And not without commentary, without filtering, just like, this is happening to me. Can you please like donate money? Or like, is this article that people are talking about and I'm like discoursing about? And like, that's just, there's no filter of having to appeal to an audience with that. Whereas all of this like TV that we watch is like, this is going through a network. This is going through multiple writers of differing political opinions.
There's something that I've thought about before is that like, in order for satire to work, you have to draw a contrast between the subject of the satire and the status quo. And inherently, by making fun of someone who's deviating from the status quo, you are saying that the status quo is good, right? And so, like, anyways, it's a tangent, but there's something to think about.
Yeah.
What's the Lorian question? Where are you going?
Yeah.
Wait, no. Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Do you have anything worth living for?
Yeah.
But isn't there also where are you going?
I think so.
Can you look it up?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
Why are you here? That's tied into what you want. It's kind of a synthesis of both questions.
I think Lorian's questions, yeah, sort of demonstrate that... Lorian's questions demonstrate that both the Shadow and the Vorlon question were meant to be unified, and then they sort of divided themselves from that origin.
Yes. These aren't Lorian quotes, these are just quotes. Jimmy's asking which train station I can pick him up from. He's saying what's better.
Was on the way here, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know where
I
the pickup.
I saw that on the map.
I can call him when we head out.
Okay. Yeah, I think. So. Well, he's on the train. That's why he's asking.
Oh shoot.
I think was near here. You'll cut this out, right?
Yes.
This dead part. I'm realizing it might be hard for you to do edits because of the constant music in the background. So
they can deal with it.
Okay. Maybe you won't cut this out, but people are fine.
People are chill.
Yeah. Just keep doing your laundry.
You filthy
you
listener.
You filthy.
I was gonna ask you what your address is so I can redirect from Google Maps.
I can show you. I can text you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The last thing I want to say about Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
And the deconstruction of Falling Stars thing is speaking, to tie it back to the beginning, of events happening to line up nicely no matter what.
Yeah.
Hello.
You guys want a dessert menu or anything?
I don't think so. I think we're ready for
check.
The check.
There you go. Whenever you're ready, okay?
And, thank you very much.
I have a gift card.
Okay.
Let's see. Where did I put it, actually?
I feel like I saw it.
Where did I put it?
Oh, no. You lost it?
I definitely brought it and had it, and
took
now...
Took your jacket.
It's gone.
Did you drop it?
I don't know.
Do you have, I mean, I guess what we can try to do is, like, try to, like search up on, like, the,
I totally
had it. It's on your card,
I put it there, and then I took it out for no reason.
Ah! But you wanted to prove to me that you could pay
could
for
it.
It?
Oh, I found it.
Hey.
Oh. It was in the pocket I checked first. Okay.
Classic.
That should have $25
okay.
on it.
So is this okay for this little okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you do paying with the Applebee's gift card?
Yep.
Did you want to, well, I mean, it doesn't have a lot to cover, like, over the original bill. So
I can pay the rest with my card here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do card, you just have to select the tip.
Got it. Okay. And then confirm payment?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you just want to do this one first.
Okay.
Did you want to keep this or toss it?
Toss it.
Okay.
okay with for you?
Okay, cool. And then this is my card if you could do the rest on there. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Accidentally in love.
You gotta look kind of gross. You simply have to. You ever see that video? This is not
Someone should make a Spotify playlist of all the songs that were on during the Applebee's episode. I would like to listen to that playlist.
It kind of brings you back.
Yeah.
In the space.
Yeah.
That video of, it's not Counting Crows, but it's the guy from Smashing Pumpkins. I always get those two mixed up. But it's, what's his name? Billy...
Yeah,
Corgan. And it's the beginning of 1975.
Oh, good song.
Where it's like... And then he like, it's like, does a high note.
Yeah.
It's just... It's called Billy Corgan on a Roller Coaster. I've definitely showed it to you.
I think, yeah.
It's like... As the roller coaster's going downhill. I love it.
That's good. Did we figure out what the Lorian question is?
No. I can't find it. I simply can't find it. There's just no good wiki stuff for Babylon 5.
I mean, he asks like three questions, I think.
Are they in the theme song?
He asks, why are you here? Do you have anything worth living for? And I think he also asks, where are you going?
Are they in the Crusade theme song? Is it those?
I think in Crusade, who are you, what do you want? And then I think they just do, who do you serve and who do you trust?
Yeah.
But that's a good question.
Those are questions I can't answer.
Who do you serve and who do you trust?
Yeah. What?
I mean, the right answer is, I don't know. Right? That's what Gideon said. Matthew Gideon.
Thank you. Kind of girl who gives up just like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Who do you serve and who do you trust? That's a really hard question.
I serve a higher power. Who do I trust? No one.
Yeah.
No, I trust you. Part of the reason I always feel I can struggle a bit with questions like this is I feel like I'm in a point in my life where I'm like resetting every couple of weeks now. It's happened more and more frequently.
Right.
I'm like, oh fuck, who do I trust again? it like seriously feels sometimes like I'm waking up, and it happens on weekends especially. I'm like, oh, what body did I just fall into? Like,
yeah.
Who is this one again? What is he? What the priorities again?
Yeah.
Reset all that. Well, I think this stupid picture of Lauren.
I think because people around us, like, it's so uncertain who they serve.
Yeah.
Or what they serve, like what ideas they are living in pursuit of.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to like fully, completely trust every single person or any given person. Like there are, you know, most things I can trust most people I know with. Like I wouldn't say that I have a trust problem with my family or you or Jim or anything. But
set.
Thank you.
No problem. So the one on the left is for you to keep.
Okay.
And the right is for the restaurant.
Awesome.
Thank you guys. Have a good one.
You too. How long could you stay in a restaurant after paying before someone asks you to leave?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We're not going to find out today, but...
We could just sit here. I mean, they don't need the seats.
What a sick burn against Zappleus. A classic mage.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I just wrote on the guest copy.
It's okay. Now you get one clean cake.
That's true.
One perfect shot.
Alrighty. Let's leave.
That Twitter account used to be really popular.
Which one?
One perfect shot. It was just like screenshots from popular films that were like good cinematography.
That's nice. It's like a every frame of picture kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow, I haven't thought about every frame of picture in a minute.
Yeah.
Film YouTube is its own whole thing. I just want to do a 3-hour
video essay about Joker. Song is goofy. It's like the song I'm gonna hear when I'm falling into a hole, like a literal hole.
Okay, well, we're out of the Applebee's now.
We're in a post-Applebee's haze.
Bless you. Why are we here? Because we said we would be. Bless you. Where are we going? Back to my house to play some board games, maybe.
Okay.
Or something else.
Okay.
And do we have anything worth living for? I think so.
My face just prolapsed. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I guess love.
It's fun. I haven't gone to Japan yet.
Yeah, all right, great. That's a good one. Where are you going? Oh, your park job is really bad.
Oh, no!
It's really bad.
Well, fortunately, I parked in a corner where no one else is, so it's fine. But, yeah. Wowie.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that's Babylon 5, baby.
Yeah, baby.
That's all she wrote. Hold on, let's get the good quiet. I love car acoustics. Turn Rhonda on and get us warmed up.
That's the name of Alan's car.
I named my car Rhonda. Who is she?
Rhonda. Yeah. What does she want? To drive.
On the wide open fields.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
Help.
Yeah, you already know what it is, Chats Boys. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Couple weeks, yeah.
We'll talk about the prisoner. Shush Radio. At Chats Pod. Chat on Twitter, chatspot@gmail.com for emails. If we get emails in the next week, I'll fit them in somewhere.
Okay.
And yeah, enjoy the break. There will still be Patreon content, obviously. We're at patreon.com/chatspod. And
I think we'll fill the feed with Patreon stuff.
Yeah.
Old stuff.
I'll put a couple things on there.
I think we'll probably rebroadcast the prisoner pilot episode, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Okay. People know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
Have an idea for it. I re-listened to that.
Yeah?
We liked it.
Okay, good. That's good.
Good, because we're doing it. Any final words?
Do you have a chatsum for this week?
Apple.
Yeah, check out Applebee's.
Just go and search your local Applebee's.
I gotta be honest, Chili's is doing what Applebee's is doing better.
Yeah, I mean their food's better,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But it's in the same ballpark. Jaka! I loved the Applebee's.
Yeah, we were too cowardly to do the voices in the Applebee's.
I'm not a coward. I asked to sit in the booth so that we could be quiet and podcast.
Yeah.
The guy was like, do you want like nice, wholesome families just here to have fun together? And I was like, no! Oh, Jerry? I wanna be in a corner.
Start driving. We'll keep the
No,
thing.
I'm scared. We'll I don't know how to talk and drive at the same time.
So don't talk and I'll talk.
I'll drive.
I'll drive. Maybe
you should drive. Shut up! Shut the fuck up!
Okay.
How do I get out of here?
I do trust you, by the way. I felt like that was a weird moment.
When did you... Wait, what?
Who do we serve? Who do we trust thing?
Oh, I
we
trust both, you.
Yeah, okay, cool. What? I'm glad we could arrive at that.
This way?
Ooh. But I think the thing is, like, still the people you trust are gonna, like, do things that frustrate you and...
Yeah, do you know how many times you fucking frustrated me?
A lot.
No. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
So water under the bridge.
I think that's what it is, right? It's like... Even people who you trust completely and like would trust with your life, like that kind of trust, are still gonna.
This is the right way to go.
Anyway.
But I think people got Bebel. That from what we were saying.
Oh, Bebel.
Oh, Bebel.
This might be the right way.
Do I have a chance in freaking? I'm trying to think.
Can I go left here?
Oh, we went to PAX yesterday, and
yeah, what was the best thing you saw at PAX? You want to chat?
Honestly, the most fun that I had doing something at PAX was playing Windjammers 2.
Yes, Queen!
So I'm going to chat some. It's coming out sometime this year, 2020. I went home and immediately got Windjammers 1 on my Switch.
You bet! Oh, it's on Switch?
Yeah, it's on Switch. It's like $15 or $20.
Which is a fine amount of money to pay for that great game.
It's, yeah. So I have Windjammers 1, and I'm definitely going to get Windjammers 2. I also got a Windjammers hooded long sleeve t-shirt type thing.
Which you're wearing.
And I'm wearing it right now. Mm-hmm. And it's very styling, I think. So if they are selling that merch anywhere online, I'd recommend getting this.
Yeah.
Because it's nice merch. That's my rec. That's my chatsum, everybody. Do you have a PAX chatsum there, guy?
Lining up with a bunch of strangers and playing Final Fantasy 14 in front of a crowd is one of the most hype, cool things I've ever done.
Is that the thing you won the shirt for?
Yes.
Nice.
It is bonkers. They had us fight the newest boss, the newest like raid boss, I guess, called Ruby Weapon, and we had to group up with 8 people, with the total of 8 people in line, and like pick your roles, and you're not playing your own character, but everyone's got you on like a big screen, and if you die a certain number of times, you lose, but... It actually went fine. It was so tight, though. It was like a split second, like we would have been done, which is always exciting. And then I won a shirt that says "I beat Ruby Weapon." So
nice.
Performing. I love performing. Maybe in like a couple of years, I'll just be like a really successful Twitch streamer or an actor or something like that. Or one of those are the only two performance arts I know of: Twitch streaming and acting.
Right.
I like Twitch streaming. We should do a chat's Twitch channel.
I'd love to do that.
Are you covering the actual microphone currently with your finger? Or what's
no,
that?
It records right here.
Oh, hey!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do... What would we play on our Twitch?
Oh, like card games.
Yeah?
What's that one that all the kids like? What's not B5CCG. I hear you asking for it, and I refuse to put a camera on my face unless it's for a face cam.
Well, it doesn't have to be on our face. We could get... a camera that somehow looks down at the table?
I think that's what the actual idea is, yeah. Or just like a stand for your phone to do that. And then stream for your
phone.
Oh,
can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That can't be that pricey. Mm-hmm. I would love to Twitch stream
board games. I also meant board games. Or even like, not Hearthstone, but stuff like that. What is the one? I can't think of it. It's like a very popular card game right now. I can't think of it.
It's like a... video game card game?
Yes.
Hey everybody, if you're listening to this point, I can tell you that the game Alan's thinking of was Slay the Spire.
I don't know.
Fart, bump, fart,
what's
bump, fart.
Anything about it? Like, what's the...
It's like fantasy style.
And it's not Hearthstone?
No. It's not a collectible card game. You just, like, have cards.
In the video game.
Yes, Pat is going to email us angrily and be like, "Oh, it was Fart Bump. You guys knew it. You said it was Fart Bump, and you were right." I need to just confirm it.
We've toyed with...
Toydarians.
With doing at least, like, Let's Play videos before.
Yeah, we're proficient in it.
I had fun doing when we did F-Zero, and then when we were trying to put together the 12 Days of Chatsmas, I was looking at... when we did the Star Wars The Old Republic
thing. Ooh, baby.
And we were like, this is going to be a thing called What's the Deal With, you remember?
Yeah.
Gonna, like, totally...
Try different MMOs or whatever?
Try MMOs, yeah. I think I'd like to stream something that's got a narrative.
Yeah, I've been having a ton of fun here and there streaming Dot Hack, which is just an old PS2 JRPG. Because I'm bad at finishing games sometimes, and... Yeah. Having a stream to talk to when you're just in, like, the grindy parts of an RPG makes it really easy, and then you can kind of, like, laugh and enjoy the good, like, cutscenes.
Yeah.
Hey, it's that place. That's a good place. I'm not going to say the name of it, not the dog says, but that place is good. I swear. Bobble, bobble.
Oh, that does look good.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Bobble, bobble. What is that from?
Huh?
That thing I'm doing?
I don't know. Bobble commercials?
Maybe. Bobble?
Bobble.
Bobble.
Bobble. Bobble. Well, that's it, everybody. If you have ideas for things you'd want us to stream, we're not saying we're going to do it for sure, but, you know, we're...
It's
intrigued,
in the car,
intrigued with the idea of doing that. Let us know what you'd want to watch us play.
Give us a jingle.
Give us a jingle. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, we said all the things, and then I forced us into this little outro.
I love it.
And it's I love it too. I keep having the urge to read signs, so I'm gonna stop this recording before I give away our exact location.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah, thank you folks for listening and for supporting us all the way through this journey through Babylon 5 and its many sundry visual
stuff. Oh, I have one last thing.
Oh, good.
We got an email. I really shouldn't do it while driving. Actually, can you do it for me? Can you pull up an email?
Yes, yeah. I sure can.
We got... This is perfect.
This is perfect.
This is perfect. I'm so glad I remembered.
Perfect.
We're literally about to wrap it. And I was like... So Pat sent us an email.
Oh.
Which is a series of Mad Libs.
Oh, but you told me not to read this.
Well, because I thought you were going to play it, but I'll play it, because I haven't. I don't actually remember any of it.
Okay.
So just hit me with the things.
Oh, this is the this is great, Pat. This is awesome.
It is really good.
Okay. Okay, give me a number.
69.
Okay. Okay. A plural noun.
Narwhals.
Okay. A noun ending in Elon.
A noun.
Yeah, just make up a noun.
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something stupid though. Maxilon. Yeah.
Okay. Noun.
Dog.
Okay. Adverb.
Moistly.
Adjective?
Drenched.
Okay. Let's see. Plural noun?
Farts.
Okay. Color?
Beige.
Okay. A noun?
Pendulum.
Okay. A number?
27.
Okay. And then give me an exclamation.
Zoinks!
Okay. It was the dawn of the 69th age of mankind, 10 years after the Earth-Narwhal War. The Maxilon Project was a dream given form. Its goal to prevent another dog by creating a place where humans and aliens can work out their differences moistly. It's a port of call, home away from home, for diplomats, hustlers, entrepreneurs, and drenched wanderers. Oh, shit, I forgot this one. What was your plural noun?
I'll give you a new plural noun.
Okay.
Oh, farts.
That's what it was. Farts, yeah. Humans, farts, and aliens.
Yes!
Wrapped in 2,500,000 tons of spinning beige metal, all alone, in the night. It can be a dangerous place, but it's our last, best hope for peace. This is the story of the last of the... Oh, what was this noun? I forgot your noun and number. Give me another noun and number.
Pizza and 27.
This is the story of the last of the pizza stations. The year is 2762. What is it? How do you say it?
62.
62. The name of the place is Maxilon 5. Zoinks.
Zoinks!
Thank you, Pat. That was delightful.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Well... That about does it for this episode of Chatsalon 5. For the very last time, peace.
Peace.